Baylor University proudly presents The John Morris Show. Baylor University, where light shine bright. This is The John Morris Show on ESPN Central Texas, the flagship station for the Baylor Bears.
Two receivers right, tight end on either side. Love it in the backfield. First and goal from the two for the Bears. Brewer looks to run it in. He's in, standing up. Charlie Brewer hits pay dirt. The Bears are in the end zone on their second possession of the night. They lead Oklahoma 6-3.
The John Morris Show is also brought to you by Amanda Cunningham, Coldwell Banker Apex Realtor, by the Baylor Club at McLean Stadium, and by D'Amore Fine Jewelers, 4541 West Waco Drive, where Waco gets engaged.
Oklahoma has outscored Baylor 24-0 in the second half.
Wow.
And they have the lead 34-31 now with a minute 45 to play.
You know, I'm obviously disappointed at the result, but I'm certainly proud of everything that, you know, this meant, that we were, you know, had this national stage, that we performed well at times on it, that, you know, that our goal was to hold them under 30, and we were right there at it, you know. So, as I said to our guys, I mean, we're going to look back, a lot of credit to them, but we're going to look back and say, if we had just done this and this and this, and, you know, we'll either play them again next year or we'll play them again in a couple weeks, and hopefully we can learn from that. But, you know, like I said, we'll be disappointed, but we certainly won't be anything else other than that.
Stay connected with the Voice of the Bears on Twitter, on Instagram, and on Snapchat at Voice of Bears.
Here's a snap back. Brewer wasn't ready for it. Oh, and this one is picked off. The pass on the near sideline is intercepted by Oklahoma. Intercepted by the Sooners. They've got the ball and the lead, and that might be the ball game. Interception by OU's Nick Benito.
I'm going to tell you, man, this, I mean, that's, I got to give OU credit. I thought they were dead to rights. I thought they were dead, man. And Coach Riley and his group, they've come on the road and they found out a way to give Baylor its first loss here in a tough ball contest.
Sooners go into victory position. Snap to Hurts. He'll take a knee, and that is it.
Now, from the Petty Clinic Low T Studio, here's the voice of the Bears, John Morris.
Hi, and welcome to John Morris Show on a Monday. Glad you're with us. Highlight cuts courtesy of the Baylor Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. Coach Matt Rhule, post-game from Saturday also. You know by now the Bears built a big, big first-half lead, and Oklahoma just dominated the second half. Net result, 34-31, OU over Baylor on Saturday.
Yeah, it was a wild game, man. You could tell that going into it that the staff had seen something on film from Oklahoma. And, you know, because I think Brewer ran more in the first half than I've seen him run all year. And for whatever reason, you know, they went in, Oklahoma went in, regrouped, and they came out with a game plan that was just ideal for the second half, and they wore out that defense.
Yeah, and first half was so good for Baylor. I think I would say it was the best half of football, especially given opposition Baylor's played all year. I don't think there's any question about that. And then maybe the worst half in the second half, only because they couldn't sustain anything offensively. They just couldn't get any drives going. They couldn't keep the ball away from OU. OU was had those long, time-consuming, grinded-out drives. And from 31-10 at halftime to 34-31 was the final score.
It was like they went into halftime and said, okay, we're going to take away Charlie Brewer's running ability, and we're going to use this third quarter to wear down that defense. And that's exactly what they did. The offense just, when the offense was able to get on the field, they just couldn't do anything. I understand that they got out of rhythm. You know, they were in, because you go into halftime, so that's what, 15 minutes?
Right.
And then when they finally get the ball, they've probably been off the field for probably 30 minutes at least. That rhythm is gone.
Yeah, good point.
You know, and then it's like they spied Brewer and would not allow him to run, and then doubled Mims, and they just couldn't get it going.
That's it. The yards Charlie had rushing in the first half, they just weren't there in the second half at all. So credit OU for that. But, you know, even at that, even all that being said, Baylor had the ball back in their possession at the end of the game with a chance to drive down, and a field goal would have tied it. They got to the OU, 40-yard line on that pass to Mims, and then Charlie threw a pass that should have been intercepted, wasn't, and then the next one was intercepted by Nick Benito for Oklahoma, and that was the end of the game. But, man, what an atmosphere at McLean Stadium. I think, the best that I can remember going back to the fourth quarter against TCU in 2014, the 61-58, and we've had some great crowds and some great atmospheres there, but this one from before kickoff even. Remember when I was telling you about the blackout game?
Right.
At Floyd Casey Stadium, and that was Oklahoma on a Thursday night, and how the crowd was there early, and you could just feel this swell of energy in the crowd before kickoff. Well, it was the same way on Saturday. It really was. I mean, the crowd was there early. They were into it. And the only seats that were open were the Baylor Line students, you know, and when they ran onto the field and then they filled those seats, it was great, great college football atmosphere.
And that's just it. You see that consistently across the nation. I mean, that is a true college football atmosphere. And Baylor needs to do that more consistently, and they should. You know, you have a good thing going. You lost this game. That's not a big deal. Bounce back. Come out and repeat that atmosphere this weekend. You know, do that for UT. Do that on a consistent basis. The team feeds off of that, and, you know, they'll bounce back from this.
Yeah, I hope you're right. I hope it is the same kind of atmosphere this Saturday. You would hope that it would be that way every home game.
Exactly. Right? There's no reason it shouldn't be.
But, boy, thanks to the fans. Kudos to the fans for making that atmosphere what it was. And that was a tough, long weekend. Baylor students, a lot of them camped out on Friday night at McLean Stadium. And then they were there bright and early for game day on Saturday. And then, maybe got a nap in the afternoon, and then we're right back out there with a lot of energy on Saturday night.
But that's also a memory that will never be taken away from
them. Right, right.
You know,
that's true.
That experience, because not everybody, not everybody's going to get that opportunity. You know, the students at Minnesota really wanted that, but, you know, they didn't get it. So enjoy that. They came to you, take advantage of that, and, you know, the game didn't turn out the way you wanted it, but still the atmosphere in that moment's never going to go away.
Right. Yeah. And I think Baylor and Waco and McLennan County really put their best foot forward too.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it was a really good performance by everyone. Just the turnout and the way that everybody embraced, the ESPN crew being here, the stories they were telling were all very, very positive. So that was really good. I mean, that's really encouraging to see that that everybody, when we had this opportunity, we made the most of it.
Yeah, I think one of the funniest things was probably Pat McAfee just taking the dive off the boat
into the river.
What the heck, man? That was funny.
If you were to predict one person on crew to do it, he's the guy,
absolutely,
right?
That was funny, though. That was great.
That was pretty funny. So great show by ESPN. Really fun day leading up to the game. And then the game, as we said, a great atmosphere. Baylor with the loss, 9-1 on the year, 6-1 in Big 12 play. And looking ahead to Texas now coming in this Saturday. Another big, big game for the Bears. Final home game of the regular season. 2:30 Saturday, if you haven't heard. 2:30 kickoff for the Bears and the Longhorns on Saturday. And this team is one, Baylor is one win away from a spot in the Big 12 championship game. With Texas lost Saturday to Iowa State, and we'll have our Big 12 roundup coming up in a bit. But with Texas loss,
right,
Baylor needs one win, whether it's this week against Texas or next week against KU, and they're in the Big 12 championship game against Oklahoma, another rematch with Oklahoma.
Well, that's what I was going to ask, is if they had to win one or the other, or just regardless,
either
just
one.
Win one.
Yep, either
you
one.
You want to go 2-0, and you should go 2-0. But, yeah, I mean, you're in a great position to be in the title game and get another shot at Oklahoma.
Yeah, and how about that, a rematch? I mean, that's pretty unique. These days, you don't get those rematches very often,
no,
but you're going to get it in the Big 12 every year because everybody plays everybody during the regular season. Then the top two are going to meet in the championship game.
Yeah, and the only difference this time around is going to be if CeeDee Lamb plays, which he should. Most players like that, when they, he missed this one, if you get another shot, he's going to be coming out there. So you're going to have to really watch him. It just, I think they have an opportunity to shock the world and get revenge on Oklahoma.
Yeah, I think it'd be fun to have another opportunity to play them. Glad you mentioned CeeDee Lamb. That was a big part of the story on Saturday. Top receiver, one of the top receivers in this league, in the nation also. And so he was a real focal point for Baylor as they prepared for Oklahoma last week. And Coach Rule just kept saying, you can't let him kill you. You can't let him get a lot of yards after the catch, which he is prone to do. And so we're there early, and we're walking around the press box. And the first time I heard of anything was Taylor Bryan sent me a text with a story that had just come out from, I think it was OU Daily. I think that's where it came from first, or where we saw it first. And it said CeeDee Lamb questionable for the Baylor game. And, you know, that you kind of perk up and say, ooh, what's the story there?
Yeah.
And visited with Taylor about it, read that story. And they said that story said he was dealing with concussion symptoms protocol. Now, that was never confirmed by OU.
Right.
We didn't say that on the air, I don't think. But, you know, it makes you wonder, is he going to play in the game? So always take the opportunity to visit with the opposing play-by-play guy,
right,
Toby Rowland, who was on with us last Wednesday. And we're going over the spotting board, and I point to CD, and I say, what's going on there? And he looked at me and said, I don't know. And I said, really? He said, I don't know. Said, I hadn't heard anything about it all week. And, you know, and Toby does the games, he's at the press conference, he does a coach's show with Lincoln Riley. Mm-hmm. He said, I hadn't heard anything all week. And I said, all right. So we both kind of said, we'll watch warm-ups and see what's going on in warm-ups. So, I mean, that's a big story if he doesn't play in the game. And so you watch warm-ups, Oklahoma comes out, you know, the full team comes out, and he's dressed out, and he's going through warm-ups. Ricky's watching for him down on the sidelines, and he says, Lamb's out here warming up. We said, all right, so there wasn't anything to that story. Because you would think if it is concussion protocol, and again, OU never said that's what it was. They just said a medical issue, I think is what they said. But if it's that, you're not going to play, so why would you be warming up?
I don't know, unless it's like a mind thing.
Maybe. But even at that, I don't think, if you're in concussion protocol, I don't think you'd suit him up and put him out there to go through warm-ups. But he was, and so we just sort of dismissed the story as, you know, nothing to it.
Right.
Looks like he's going to play because he's going through warm-ups, and we said that on the air. And then here comes the first series of the game. CeeDee Lamb's not out there. And then that leads a great deal of credence to the, you know, the version of the story that he's not going to play, because that guy, he's going to be out there whenever the offense is on the field. And then the second series, he's not out there. And then we get word that he is out for the game. Again, OU never said exactly what it was, but out for the game.
And on the TV, on the television broadcast, they did say concussion protocol.
Which, did they? Okay.
But it was kind of weird, though, because they kept it under wraps, like you're saying, and they have him out there, you know, warming up. And he took a shot last week, but he played the rest of the game.
Yeah,
so that was kind of odd. Like, if you're under concussion protocol, you obviously had symptoms after you took that major shot on that kickoff.
Right.
Or punt, I mean. But I don't know. It was just an odd situation.
Do you remember, were you watching the game close enough to know when TV had something on that?
It was early on. I think it was like after, it was during their first series, I want to say.
Okay.
Because
it was into the game. It wasn't pregame.
They cut to him on the sidelines, you know, and he had his jersey on, his toboggan. And that's when they mentioned the injury.
And we knew pretty much for sure that he wasn't going to play when we were told he doesn't have his helmet.
Right.
Because that's a telltale sign right there. If they take a guy's helmet away, he's not playing.
No.
Because a lot of times if you let him even hold his helmet, or if he wants to wear it or something on the sidelines, you could sneak in, or, you know, there's a possibility that he's playing. But when we were told they took his helmet away, we knew that he was definitely out.
It was just a really odd way that unfolded. You know, everybody was expecting him to play, and then I don't know. It was just crazy how
I'd like to know the whole story there. If, like, when OU knew in the week that he wasn't going to play, and how in the world did they keep that as quiet as they did? Because, that's one of the top players in this league. And, you know, if he's not going to play, you got to think a lot of people are snooping around, you know, kind of watching for something like that.
And he obviously was practicing. You know, if they didn't see something up there, then he was practicing.
Yeah, as far as we know, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's just a wild circumstance. Yeah.
So no C.D. Lamb in the game, and the Sooners do find a way to win. Opens the door for Austin Stogner. Who is Austin Stogner? Well, he's a freshman and had two touchdown catches. His dad actually played at Baylor.
Did he really?
Yeah. There's a Baylor connection with him. And I noticed it during the week. I said, Stogner, that name's a little bit different. I wonder if there's a relation, and checked it. And sure enough, it was. But I thought, looked at his numbers. I think he had five catches total on the season going in. And I thought there's not much of a chance he'll get in the game. But try to mention that with the connection. His dad, Dan Stogner, played here. But he had two touchdown catches in the game. And then another freshman, Theo Weiss,
had a
touchdown catch. Man, he looked good on that touchdown catch and run.
I had an opportunity to cover him when he was playing at Allen.
Yeah.
And he was a phenomenal player to watch. And I didn't realize that he was going to get in the game. And he made that catch. I was like, oh, wow, there's Theo.
Yeah, exactly.
But he looked good.
So Toby referred to him as the kiddie core. You know, a couple of freshmen between them with three touchdown catches in the absence of C.D. Lamb. And, credit OU. Those guys are sitting there, and when their number's called, they really delivered on Saturday.
Yeah, they were just able to, and watching Jalen have as much trouble, and Baylor's defense was phenomenal. They did a great job on him and just had him rattled, and he was those uncharacteristic turnovers, and it was just crazy, like how everything was starting to, go Baylor's way in the first half, and then we just can't get a full game put together.
That's it. Great first half. Baylor had two takeaways, both of them leading to touchdowns. Led 28-3 at one point, 31-10 at halftime. 25-point deficit was OU's biggest comeback ever.
That's wild.
Ever. And that kind of surprised me when I heard that.
Yeah, you would think, that throughout their history, they would have been in a situation where they made a comeback before.
Right. I mean, that's a lot of points, but
it is.
Still, it kind of surprised me when we got that note.
I think the most ironic thing would have been the Atlanta Falcons Twitter thing. They posted this 28-3, just like the emoji of the hand on the head.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, we've seen 28-3, haven't we? All right, more on this and more on the Big 12 weekend coming up, our Big 12 roundup coming up in just a few minutes. We're off and running on this Monday morning. Really appreciate you tuning in. John Morris, Garrett Ross in studio, brought to you by Baylor University, where lights shine bright. Also by DMRA Fine Jewelers at 4541 West Waco Drive.
Where Waco gets engaged.
Baylor University has 330 student organizations. That's 330 ways to find your people. Looking for like-minded Lord Byron lovers? Check out the Literary Society. Get a pulse on your peers in the American Medical Student Association. Or if you'd argue you already have enough friends, then the mock trial team is shouting your name. Whoever your people are, find them at Baylor, where lights shine bright.
Wake up, Waco. It's your financial update with the team from Lovett & Associates. Today, we're here with Eric Lovett and Jeremy Masick. Eric, many investors are familiar with the traditional financial model of asset allocation, but most are not familiar with the model that's more appropriate to get us through retirement, income allocation.
Simply stated, income allocation is designating a portion of your assets to provide for your retirement income and then actually forming a plan to know exactly how this money will accomplish producing that income. It is the reason you saved. Putting in place a precise plan that gives you the confidence to retire.
Jeremy, why is having an income allocation a specific advantage over the traditional accumulation and growth model?
Income allocation sets forth a written structure to help meet income needs that we may have in retirement. When you've worked for 30, 40 years and you've accumulated this lump sum and you don't have a strategy for taking an income from it, that can lead you to deplete that a lot quicker than you might think. An income allocation plan is very important because we need to know how much we need in retirement, and what is the most efficient way to generate that income using everything that we've worked so hard to save for. The paycheck is really the bottom line. That is your income plan prior to retirement. Your paycheck is what you look forward to, and how much is going into your 401k is the secondary thought. And that's what we want to help people do every single day, is recreate that sustainable, predictable income in retirement, and also take the risk of running out of money off the table.
For your complimentary income allocation strategy design, or to request your copy of the authoritative book, Income Allocation, pick up the phone and give Lovett & Associates a call. 254-870-6800. That's 254-870-6800. 954-870-6800.
Security and advisory services offered through Cetera Advisors, LLC. Member FINRA, SIPC, a broker-dealer, and a registered investment advisor. Cetera is under separate ownership from any other entity. Investments in securities do not offer a fixed rate of return. Principal yield and or share price will fluctuate with changes in market conditions, and when sold or redeemed, you may receive more or less than originally invested. No system or financial planning strategy can guarantee future results.
Direct phone number to reach Lovett & Associates is 254-751-1256.
Hey, it's Matt Mosley's show brought to you by Jim Turner Chevrolet and McGregor, the official Chevy dealer of Baylor Athletics, your Central Texas Chevy truck headquarters. Check out our November Fall Savings event featuring our best truck deals of the year. Come see the difference that so many of our friends rave about. Transparent pricing, the highest trade allowances, and a huge inventory of new Chevrolets for you to choose from. Or check us out online at turnerschevy.com. That's Jim Turner Chevrolet of McGregor, the official Chevy dealer of Baylor Athletics. Stick 'em, Bears.
Hi, my name is Dave DeRozier, General Manager of Freddie Kish's Complete Car Care Center, voted number one in Waco since 2002. It's time to start thinking about winterizing your vehicle. Have you checked your wiper blades, your coolant protection, your battery, your tire conditions? How about your tire pressure? How about that spare tire that everybody forgets about? Let us check these worries off your list before taking that holiday vacation with your family at Freddie Kish's Complete Car Care Center, where your troubles are our business. Dedicated to serving you since 1998, located at 5300 Franklin Avenue in Waco. Come and see us and tell them Dave sent you.
D'Amore Fine Jewelers is excited to collaborate with Tacori to share the love this year. For the first time ever, Tacori is giving their biggest fans a chance to enter to win a $20,000 grand prize of Tacori jewelry. Simply visit D'Amore Fine Jewelers today and enter for a chance to win your dream designs. Tacori engagement rings, wedding bands, and jewelry. Five winners will be selected from now until December 31st. Visit D'Amore today to win. Tacori lovers, it's your time.
Back with us, John Morris Show on this Monday morning. Beautiful, sunshiny morning here in Central Texas. Going to warm up. It's cool now, but going to warm up to 74, they say, today. So really, really nice.
Oh, yeah.
It's great weather. Cool in the mornings, warms up nice. San Diego weather. It's really, really nice.
Yeah.
It's Waco weather is what it is. We're brought to you in part by UBO Business Services, a championship decision in business, is partnering with Sean Hunt and UBO Business Services. That's UBEO. With their 94% first-time fix rate, they leave their copier service competitors in the dust. You can call Sean Hunt at 254-772-1600. That is UBO Business Services. Back with us, John Morris, Garrett Ross in studio. We'll have our Big 12 roundup coming up next segment. We'll look at the weekend past in the Big 12, and then we'll look ahead at the games coming up this week. I want to mention this. Don't want to get too far into football, too late, but want to mention this. It's a big week ahead for Baylor Athletics, and that includes Baylor Volleyball, number three in the nation, hosting number one Texas Wednesday night, 7 o'clock in the Farrell Center.
Redemption.
Chance
it's
at
gotta
it.
Be. It's chance gotta be redemption. It.
Baylor has one loss on the year. They're 21-1, and that was 3-0-2 Texas in Austin, their first meeting of the year. And now they get the Longhorns here, and Coach McGuire is obviously pushing for as big a crowd as possible. They've already sold 3,500 tickets.
Not bad.
And you say, all right, you know, in the Farrell Center, but that's a good crowd. That's a really good crowd for Baylor volleyball. And I think the all-time record crowd is 38-something.
We're closing
so,
in on it.
Oh, I think we'll blow it out of the water,
yeah.
You know, with advanced ticket sales of 3,500. So that'll be fun. It's going to be a whiteout. Going to try to white out the Longhorns on Wednesday evening. And Baylor is number three in the nation. Texas is number one. RPI, Baylor is number one. Texas is number two. So this is a big, big match for Ryan McGuire and Baylor volleyball, 7 o'clock Wednesday in the Farrell Center.
I know before they went into that Texas game, they had that impressive streak with the sets. Have they gotten back into that?
Not really. They played a five-setter at Oklahoma. They did sweep Kansas last week, but it's nothing like that set.
Right.
Streak that was, I think, 31 straight
yeah.
sets that they won.
Well, I mean, Coach McGuire mentioned going into this that, you know, everybody's seen the film. They know your tendencies and everything, and it was going to be, you know, more difficult. But, you know, they might not have the sets, but they're still winning.
Right.
So that's
oh,
all
yeah.
that's important.
Yeah, absolutely. So that is Wednesday night in the Farrell Center, Baylor versus Texas. Lady Bears play at home twice this week, tomorrow night against South Florida. And this is a good South Florida team that beat Texas Lady Longhorns earlier this year. So that is 7 o'clock tomorrow night for Coach Mulkey and the undefeated second-ranked Lady Bears. And then they host Lamar Thursday evening at 7 in the Farrell Center. And then our Athletic Hall of Fame banquet is coming up on Friday. So
busy week
for sure. Baylor men leave town tomorrow. They play in the Myrtle Beach Invitational beginning on Thursday. They'll play Ohio first off, and then they'll play either, depending on a win or a loss, they'll play either Utah or Coastal Carolina on Friday. Villanova is there. Mississippi State is there. So it's a good tournament, ESPN tournament. And Baylor will play there starting Thursday afternoon, 3:30 our time on Thursday from Conway, South Carolina.
It's a good place to go play.
It's not bad.
Nice little scenery action.
Not bad at all. Yep.
Is there any update on Lauren?
Not that I've heard. We'll get media with Coach Mulkey and players today, this afternoon. So we'll be sure and ask that. But I haven't heard anything.
Right.
Stress reaction is what they said. And she's got her foot in a boot and no timetable was really given there. A lot of people were speculating 4 to 6 weeks, but, you know, it really is different from person to person.
If the injury is horrible to have, but if you're going to have it, this is the right time of year
good point.
To get it, before you go into Big 12 play.
Right. So hopefully that's a quick heal for her. Prayerfully, that's the case for Lauren Cox. So that's the week ahead. And then Baylor, Texas, Saturday, 2:30 at McLean Stadium. It'll be Senior Day, final home game of the season. Recognize the seniors. Television on FS1, broadcast here on ESPN Central Texas, beginning at 10:30 a.m. on Saturday. So another big week ahead, and another big game at McLean Stadium on Saturday.
Yeah, it's not a bad matchup to get Oklahoma and Texas back-to-back at home.
You're right.
You could expect a big crowd. I hope you get a big crowd out there. You should. And this is a good opportunity for Baylor to beat an opponent that the vast majority of the country views as, I don't know, prestige or however you want to put it. Yeah. I think it's overrated personally, but go out and take care of business and get that dub on them.
Well, and Baylor's challenge is you can't let one loss beat you twice.
Exactly.
They can't let, they've got to turn the page pretty quick on the Oklahoma game. And I think it helps that it's Texas. I mean, there's never a shortage of motivation whenever you play Texas in anything. So I think that'll help them as they turn the page and get ready for another game.
Yeah, because if the schedule was flipped and it was Kansas and then Texas, you might be worried about a letdown.
Yeah.
But you're right. With Texas being next, there's no room for a letdown.
Right. All right, so that's the week ahead in Baylor Athletics. Let's take a break. When we come back, our Big 12 roundup. Let's look back at the weekend in the Big 12. It was a wild weekend for sure. We'll recap that and look ahead to the schedule coming up this Saturday. John Morris Show brought to you in part by Amanda Cunningham, Caldwell Banker, Apex Realtor. Amanda would direct you to her Facebook page for contact information for a 254 series of videos. Catching up with Cunningham is a short video that she puts up there on the Facebook page every Wednesday. But if you are in the need of some realty advice, if you're buying or selling, moving across town, moving across the world, just want to kind of dip your toe in the market and maybe see what your home might be worth on the market, we would direct you to Amanda Cunningham. She works with Coldwell Banker, Apex Realtors. Check out her Facebook page for contact information. Just search Amanda Cunningham, Coldwell Banker.
Baylor University has 129 undergraduate degree programs. That's 129 ways to be you. Like a Dark Ages expert with a history degree, or a light unto the world with a BA in religion. Excel with the structure of engineering, or increase your interest in finance. Keep your head in the clouds in astronomy, or your feet on the ground with earth science. No matter what walk of life you choose, take the first step at Baylor, where lights shine bright.
Football season has merged with hunting season. Waco Custom Marketplace, your one-stop shop for tailgating, deer season, and fall as they continue to offer fully cooked brisket smoked in-house. A fall family box with 5 pounds of ground beef, 5 pounds of 6-ounce chicken breast, and 5 pounds of boneless pork chop for $40. Deer camp box with a pound of jalapeno or regular summer sausage, pound of cheddar cheese, roll of crackers, pound of bacon, pound of breakfast patties, and 2 pieces of sirloin steak for $25. The fall box with 5 pounds of ground chili meat, 5 pounds of stew meat, meat and 3 pounds of boneless beef roast. And there's the fall snack box, $15, including a piece of summer sausage, pound of cheddar cheese, pound of pepper jack cheese, and a roll of Ritz crackers. The fall savings steak box, including 6 ribeye steaks, 4 New York strips, 2 pieces of sirloin steak, and beef fillets for just $100. And you can start your day with fresh kolaches, baked daily and fresh. It's your one-stop shop for all your tailgating needs. The friendliest, fastest grocery store in Waco. Waco Custom Marketplace, 425 Lake Air Drive in Waco.
Bombarolo's Pizza, a Waco tradition since 1969 and consistently voted best pizza in Waco. With 2 locations to serve you, one on Valley Mills Drive and one in Hewitt. Papa Rolo's Pizza, open Monday through Friday with lunch specials. You can find out more at www.paparolos.com. Whether you dine in, carry out, drive through, or order online, it's Papa Rolo's Pizza. Best pizza in Waco, best pizza on earth.
Come experience the difference at Glaw Ford Chevrolet Buick GMC in Clifton.
They are one of the few dealerships in Central Texas where you can shop and compare the Ford F-150, the Chevrolet Silverado, and the GMC Sierra pickup trucks side by side.
Whether it's hauling a big load or getting to a job site, count on the Ford F-150 or Super Duty truck. The Chevrolet Silverado has been helping people get things done for over 100 years. And the GMC Sierra 1500 light-duty pickup truck offers the world's first 6-function multi-pro tailgate.
At Glaw Ford Chevrolet Buick GMC, no reasonable offer will be refused. Meet the friendly sales staff. They're small town folk ready to earn your business.
Serving Central Texas since 1964, Glaw Ford Chevrolet Buick GMC. Just a short drive to 1206 North Avenue G in Clifton. Come experience the difference. Where they say cars are like eggs, they're cheaper in the country.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm your boy Q with your ESPN Central Texas Sports Center update. Enjoy comfort that's built to last with the new Train heating and cooling system. Visit traininfo.com to find your local dealer. It's hard to stop a train. The Cowboys improved to 6-4 on the season after beating the Lions 35-27. Dak Prescott was 29 for 46 for 444 yards and 3 touchdowns. After the game, he talked about his expectations for himself each and every week.
I know I can continue to play better and play better than I did tonight. That's what I focus on. I don't think about performances in the past. I'm not going to sit here and live too much on this performance. It's about what we can do now, how I can get better. We're going to close this book, and next opponent's a very, very good opponent, so I've got to keep playing like this and put our team in position to win games.
The Texans are also 6-4 on the season after they fell to the Ravens 41-7. Tonight in the NBA, the Rockets host the Blazers at 7, and the Spurs and Mavs square up at the AAC at 7:30.
Sports Center every 20 minutes, only on ESPN Central Texas. This is the John Morris Show, proudly presented by Baylor University, where lights shine bright.
I'll say this. I thought we played better today than we have the last, we have. I thought our guys were ready to go, and I thought they competed. And so I think, Texas coming to town next week, we have 2 games left. I'll tell our guys tomorrow, we have 13 days together. Let's go battle and see if we can get another game.
Now, back to today's JMO Radio Show. Here's the voice of the Bears, John Morris.
Coach Matt Rhule from postgame Saturday. Bears dropped that 34-31 decision to Oklahoma. Wrapped up a big, big day in the Big 12 Conference. Let's take a look back to Saturday. Here's our Monday regular feature, the Big 12 Roundup. Let's start off in Stillwater.
The Oklahoma State Cowboys.
Second down about 6. Sanders to throw. Looks. Sets up. Throws it deep down the middle for Dylan Stoner. He makes the catch and takes it into the end zone. Pistols firing. Touchdown Oklahoma State. 52 yards. Spencer Sanders to Dylan Stoner.
Stoner, a couple of touchdown passes on the day. Dave Hunziker with the call. Cowboys Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. 31-13 was the final. That was really, Garrett, the only game of the day that got out of hand.
Yeah, it really was. And when you look, typical Kansas, they had 3 different players they sent in to throw the ball, all 3 throwing interception.
Yeah.
And then they couldn't stop Chuba. He had a phenomenal game. And then Oklahoma State was just ultimately the better team.
Nobody's been able to stop Chuba all year. The Jayhawks certainly didn't on Saturday. 31-13 was the final. Oklahoma State knocks off the Jayhawks. Second game, this was an early start on Saturday from Lubbock, TCU, and Texas Tech.
The TCU Horn Frogs.
To throw the football, Duggan into pocket, slides forward, deep ball down the middle for Rager. Makes a grab of the 10, to the 5, touchdown TCU. Hit him in stride and Duggan from 55 yards out. Rager races to the end zone, and the Frogs go up 23-3.
Brian Estridge with the call, TCU Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. That one went was back and forth, really, down to the wire, and TCU wins it over Texas Tech, 33-31, the final score.
Both of these teams are so hard for me to figure out, like, who are they each week? You never know what you're going to get. Jet Duffy, I mean, he played lights out, but TCU just ultimately squeaked it out, and Max Duggan is their guy. I mean, they've been able to find him, and he's starting to get things going.
Yeah, Duffy played really well, and the reports are Duggan played maybe his best game of the year. So he's starting to come around. You know, freshman late in the year, you would expect that. And looks like that's what they got. TCU did from Max Duggan on Saturday. 33-31, TCU over Tech. This was sort of a bowl elimination game, if you will. Both were 4-5 on the year. The loser, you know, drops in Tech, in this case, drops to 4-6. So they're going to have to win out to be bowl eligible. TCU with the win is now 5-5. They just need one win in their last two games.
They should be able to get it. You know, I think Gary Patterson will have them ready to get that one win. You know, he always finds a way, you know, to get through to them. And the thing is going to be Tech. What do you do going forward?
So TCU, the win over Tech in Lubbock, 33-31, the final score. How about this game that took place in Ames, Iowa, Texas, and Iowa State?
The Iowa State Cyclones.
A 36-yard field goal try for the win. Snap is good. Hold is good. Kick on the way by Aselli. He's got it! He's got it! And the Cyclones win it!
That's a great call from John Walters, Iowa State Sports Network, from Learfield IMG College. Eric Heft with the riveting commentary there at the end. Ugh.
Yeah.
that was Eric with that addition to that call. But a game-winning field goal at the gun by Connor Aselli. And Iowa State beats Texas 23-21.
We knew going into this, this was going to be a tough matchup. I mean, we say it all the time. Iowa State, it's not easy to go play in Ames. And Texas found that out. Texas, they rely so much on Sam Ehlinger that if just like nobody else can ever step up and make a play when they need it, you know, and Purdy, he's got his rhythm. And to me, I think Breece Hall is the difference maker for Iowa State. He's so fun to watch run, you know, and after that Baylor game, they've been able to find him, you know, and he's got going, and he's going to have a bright future for the Cyclones.
I'm not sure he even played, or he didn't
do much
against Baylor. I don't remember his name from playing against Baylor, but right after that, you're right.
Yeah.
He plugged in, and he was kind of the missing element to give them a running game.
And it really is, and, you know, because that's what they did last year with Montgomery. Montgomery complimented Purdy, and they were really good. They just did not have that at the start of the season, and he's obviously emerged as, hey, I'm the man, and this is our offense going forward.
So 23-21 on that field goal, Iowa State knocks off Texas. The Longhorns come into Waco this Saturday. Going on at the same time on Saturday, so it was a 2:30 kick in Manhattan, and I just completely missed on this game. We were, you know, we were on the air, so we were getting ready for the Baylor game, but also watching a little closer Iowa State and Texas. And then somebody said, West Virginia beat K-State. And I said, what?
Yeah, that's wild.
That was wild. But West Virginia snaps a five-game losing skid. They go to Manhattan and knock off Kansas State.
The West Virginia Mountaineers.
Three receivers to the wide right, single receiver left. Deggie's got the football. Deggie dropping. Deggie flush. Deggie steps up. Deggie starting to run. Now he'll heave the ball deep downfield. Has a wide open receiver. The ball is caught into the end zone. Wheaton, touchdown! A 50-yard touchdown reception on third down and 22. Deggy keeping the play alive, rolling the pocket to the left. He looked downfield, and there was Bryce Wheaton wide open, and he hauls it in for the touchdown. Mountaineers take the lead, 23-20 at the 11:27 mark.
It's Tony Caridi with the call. West Virginia Mountaineer Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. 24-20 was the final after the extra point there. And I don't think many people would have thought West Virginia could beat Kansas State, much less on the road in Manhattan.
I know. I didn't see that coming. And, you know, we talked Dougie. I think he had his best game of the year as well.
Yep.
You know, and they were able to get their West Virginia defense was able to force Skylar Thompson into, you know, two interceptions, and they got him out of rhythm, and ultimately that was the downfall for Kansas State.
Yeah, Jarrett Daigle was the quarterback for West Virginia, had a good game for them, and the Mountaineers get a big road win over Kansas State. Final game of the day was obviously our game, Baylor and Oklahoma, Saturday night at McLean Stadium.
The Oklahoma Sooners.
Jalen Hurts takes a knee, and that will do it. And the Sooners' playoff hopes are still alive. Lincoln Riley heads for midfield. Jalen Hurts comes by to say something to Matt Rhule. And I'll tell you what, folks, there's a great chance we see this game again in Arlington. And at this point, I hope we do. What a ball game.
There's the other side, the other broadcast. We played you some Baylor cuts earlier. That's Toby Rowland, Sooner Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. And end of the game after an interception, Hurts takes a knee, and that's the final play in a 34-31 Oklahoma win over Baylor.
Yeah, and Hurts, it was like a tell of two halves for, you know, multiple aspects of the game. It was a tell of two halves. But for Hurts, he had so many turnovers in the first half. Was just out, they got him out of rhythm. Baylor defense did an excellent job on him. And the second half, he just went back into his zone, and that just methodical, just driving and driving, getting them together. And his performance ultimately landed him the Walter Camp Offensive Player of the Week after the game.
Yep. So a national honor for Jalen Hurts, 27 carries. That's a bunch. For 114 net yards, 147 total, and then 33 yards and losses in sacks. But 27 carries for 114 yards, passing 30 of 42 for 297, four touchdowns, and an interception. Other interesting side note of this game was that Oklahoma was leading the nation in total offense, 587 yards a game. They were second in the nation in scoring offense. But total offense, 587 per game. But they were averaging just 63 offensive snaps per game, which is a low number.
Yeah.
So you do the math there, and they were averaging 9.3 yards per play. Gosh. I mean, that is very potent offense there. Well, Saturday they ran 95 plays. So they were then averaging 63, and they ran 95 plays on Saturday. Their total offense on Saturday ended up at 525 for the Sooners.
I think that right there, though, when you look at those stats, and I could be wrong on this, but this is my opinion, their offense – they've had so many quick plays with CeeDee Lamb.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So you take him out, and they have to run a whole different style of offense. You know, it's more of Jalen is going to run the ball, you know, and it flipped the script. They ran more plays, and they just left the Baylor defense out there for so long.
Yeah. What was it? Second half, time of possession. Baylor had the ball 5 minutes and 40 seconds.
Yeah.
That was it. 16 plays. So that means that Oklahoma had the ball for 24 minutes and 20 seconds. Of the second half. Just long, time-consuming drives. Baylor, OU had 95 snaps. Baylor just had 52 offensive snaps on Saturday.
And that one drive they put together, I can't remember if it was the first one out of the third quarter or the second, where they go all the way down the field and Hurts fumbles in the end zone. You know, that could have added on as well.
That's it.
But it was just – they just owned the clock in the second half.
Yeah, they just really milked the clock, had those long drives. So 34-31 was the final. Here's Coach Matt Rhule after the game on Saturday. One of the questions post-game media session with Coach Rhule was, what is your message to the team coming off this tough loss and moving on to Texas?
My message to our guys is, a lot of talk, they came back, that'll be the talk. You came into November, you played a top 10 team, everyone picked you to lose, or thought, the nation probably thought, hey, they're underdogs. You got up, you battled them, you had a chance to win. Even at the end of the defense, you got to stop, you held them to a field goal. You had a chance to go down there and win. It was a great game. We didn't win. we should be really disappointed, you know. But at the end of the day, I do believe that we had to learn first we had to learn how not to lose, and then we had to learn how to win. Then we had to learn how to win consistently. Now you have to learn how to win in November, and we didn't do it this week. We played a heavyweight bout last week, we thought. We won that game. We didn't win this game. Now we have to go play the next one. We'll be back, there's no doubt, and we'll try to learn from this. It'll be a little painstaking, like, let's learn from, hey, if we do this. It's not going to be about, hey, if you made this play. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, don't sit there and look at the clock and say, let someone do something. Just play the game, and that's how you win to me in these key down the stretch times.
Coach Matt Rhule from Saturday, and Bears now turn the page. Looking forward to Texas coming in this week. 2:30 kickoff Saturday from McLean Stadium, broadcast here on ESPN Central Texas. Television is on FS1. The other games coming up Saturday, Kansas plays at Iowa State, 11 a.m. on FSN. Oklahoma State plays at West Virginia, 11 a.m. on ESPN2, noon Eastern. 6 o'clock on FS1, K-State plays at Texas Tech. And 7 o'clock on Fox on Saturday, TCU plays at Oklahoma.
That's some good games.
Another full schedule games here in November.
One question I got. On the Kansas-Oklahoma State game, was that Les Miles' first return
the coach? Yeah, I think it was. I think I saw something on that or heard part of an interview with Les Miles. But I think it was his first trip back to Stillwater. Yeah, good point.
I wasn't sure if that was the case or not.
And the Cowboys put it on him Saturday. Yeah. All right, there's our Big 12 roundup for the day, for the weekend. And let's take a break when we come back. Day of the day and some birthdays to mention as we wrap things up in the 9 a.m. hour. Thanks for being with us. John Morris Show brought to you by the Baylor Club at McLean Stadium. The greatness of the Baylor Club was on display again on Saturday, as really all weekend. They had Friday Night Live. They had their member tailgate on Saturday. I had an issue arise, and the first person I thought of was Mike Mosel. So I texted Mike, and he said, I'm on it. And sure enough, he solved the issue. And Mike is the GM there for the Baylor Club, and got to visit with him just a little bit on Saturday. Obviously, he's very busy. And then yesterday, they had the Bear Brunch on Sundays following Baylor home games. So big, big weekend for the Baylor Club. They are closed today after that weekend. Regular hours begin again tomorrow. But I would encourage you to check it out on the web, thebaylorclub.com, and you can see all that they have to offer. They've got an events schedule there on the website and membership information as well. Check it out, thebaylorclub.com. Their phone number, as always, is 254-710-8080. They are catching their breath today after a wild weekend, but they'll be back open regular hours tomorrow. But go to the website, thebaylorclub.com, and see what they have to offer.
Baylor University's average undergrad class is just 26 students. Instead of a sea of strangers, that's 26 new friends with 26 new perspectives. Like Chloe, who has pretty unique theories on linear algebra. Deontay, who has vital knowledge of all things medical. Or Jess, who marches to the beat of her own drum in the Baylor Golden Wave Band. When you're ready to see things a little differently, take a look at Baylor, where lights shine bright.
How many trucks are running around Central Texas without any masculinity? Just look at the road and you'll see. With many, there's nothing there. Not one accessory. And that's what's really toxic. Sadly, truck nudity affects thousands of Central Texas trucks. But it doesn't have to be that way, because it's a fully treatable condition. At Pickup Outfitter Labs, our R&D department has been working hard on this problem, and I'm excited to announce a stunning breakthrough. It's our own patented treatment called PO. Now, anyone suffering from truck nudity can get PO'd. Need a bed cover? Get PO'd. Need a hitch? Get PO'd. Need a bumper, toolbox, or grill guard? You guessed it, get PO'd. At Pickup Outfitters, we're making real progress, but we need your help. Do you know someone who needs to get PO'd? Send them to Pickup Outfitters for treatment. Our recovery center is located at 220 Lake Air Drive in Waco. See our educational video on our website at createacommotion.com. That's createacommotion.com.
Tired of searching for your next apartment home? No one wants to drive around aimlessly, wasting gas, looking at one place after another. Let Heritage Square end your search. Their courteous and professional on-site staff will have you relaxing by their crystal clear pool in no time, letting all the stress of moving just float away. Call them at 254-420-1500. Heritage Square. It's more than a place to call home.
It's the holiday season at Waco Hippodrome. They've got Winona's Rockin' Roots Christmas Show on December 7th and William Lee Martin's Christmas Comedy Spectacular on December 20th. Be sure to catch a movie this holiday season. Frozen 2 premieres November 21st. Grab tickets at WacoHippodromeTheater.com and stop by the Raleigh Diner for a delicious dinner before the show. They have weekly lunch and dinner specials and happy hour from 2 to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday. And be sure to check out the rooftop bar, The High Top, open Thursday through Saturday, 4 to 11 p.m.
Hey, it's Matt Mosley's show brought to you by Jim Turner Chevrolet and McGregor, the official Chevy dealer of Baylor Athletics, your Central Texas Chevy truck headquarters. Check out our November Fall Savings event featuring our best truck deals of the year. Come see the difference that so many of our friends rave about. Transparent pricing, the highest trade allowances, and a huge inventory of new Chevrolets for you to choose from. Or check us out online at TurnerChevy.com. That's Jim Turner Chevrolet of McGregor, the official Chevy dealer of Baylor Athletics. Stick 'em, Bears.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm your boy Q with your ESPN Central Texas Sports Center update. Brought to you by Valvoline Express Care Waco. 833 North Valley Mills Drive. Open Monday through Friday, 8 to 6. Saturday, 8 to 5. The Cowboys improved to 6-4 on the season after beating the Lions 35-27. Dak Prescott was 29 for 46 for 444 yards and 3 touchdowns. After the game, he talked about his expectations for himself each and every week.
I know I can continue to play better and play better than I did tonight. That's what I focus on. I don't think about performances in the past. I'm not going to sit here and live too much on this performance. It's about what we can do now, how I can get better. We're going to close this book, and next opponent's a very, very good opponent, so I've got to keep playing like this and put our team in position to win games.
The Texans are also 6-4 on the season after they fell to the Ravens 41-7. Tonight in the NBA, the Rockets host the Blazers at 7, and the Spurs and Mavs square up at the AAC at 7:30.
Sports Center every 20 minutes, only on ESPN Central Texas.
This final segment, John Morris Show, brought to you by Baylor University, where lights shine bright. We're going to move out of here, make room for Matt Mosley. Matt Mosley Show coming up next. Stephen Simcox moving into the room as well. So Matt Mosley coming up next, 10 to noon. Remember, the Matt Rhule press conference will be live on the air at 11:30 this morning when Coach Rhule meets with the media. Carried live here on ESPN Central Texas. It's also live and archived on Big 12 Now on ESPN Plus. But Matt Mosley up next, then Q and Craig for Unnecessary Roughness from noon to 3. You make the call 3 to 6 this afternoon, all here on ESPN Central Texas. All right, day of the day today. And Garrett, this is pretty cool. I like this. Mickey Mouse Day.
Yeah, Mickey Mouse birthday.
Mickey Mouse birthday, November 18th, Mickey Mouse birthday commemorates the debut of the lovable mouse that was once a rabbit called Oswald. That was the start of it.
I thought it was emerged from the Steamboat Willie thing, but I didn't know he was a rabbit called Oswald.
I think that was the first cartoon with Mickey Mouse, with
right.
Steamboat Willie. So it would have... Would the rabbit called Oswald be before that?
I guess. I've never heard of the rabbit yeah. called Oswald.
I've heard it. I don't know the details of it. Well, here's some. His character got his start on film November 18th, 1928. But before that, the story begins in 1927 when Walt Disney first sketched a floppy-eared bunny while under contract to Universal Studios.
Huh.
That event, the events that unraveled brought us Mickey Mouse. So it was something about Universal, Disney... He couldn't take Oswald the rabbit with him or start
like
using it with Walt Disney.
Something.
Maybe
yeah.
that was it. So then he became a Mickey Mouse. And Mickey's had a long, prosperous career.
Yeah. You've been around for a while doing
think
this
how
thing.
Many, think how many. Have you been to Disney World or Disneyland?
I haven't. I haven't been out there yet.
Just think of how many merchandise items have Mickey Mouse on them.
he's been the start of an empire. He's built an empire.
Yeah. Second only to Eskimo Joe's in Stillwater. Probably not even second to that.
That's funny.
But Mickey Mouse birthday today, and it's Mickey Mouse Day on November 18th. So happy birthday, Mickey. Otherwise, other birthdays today. Ron Nelson, our good friend, retired from First National Bank of Central Texas. Ron, happy birthday to you. He's got some time on his hands. He may be listening to us. Jordan Browning's birthday is today. The better half of Blair Browning. Happy birthday to Jordan. Carrie Livesay, today's Carrie's birthday. Let's see. Vince Erickson, today's Vince's birthday. And Richard Carr, today's Richard Carr's birthday. So big day all the way around with those birthdays. Anybody to add?
I got one. Shad Klein. He's the co-owner of SixMania.com. They do a great job covering six-man football, not only in Texas, but across the nation. So today's his birthday. I wish him a happy birthday.
Very cool. All right. Happy birthday to all of you, and hope you have a great day. If we missed you, I apologize. We're out of time. Garrett, remind me tomorrow. Let's carve out just a couple of minutes, tell you the story of Oliver Block.
Definitely.
Okay, remember that name, and I saw Oliver in the out in Touchdown Alley on Saturday, but we're out of time, so I'll save that for tomorrow. 23 hours from now, we'll be back, Lord willing, but right now, Matt Mosley is coming up next. Get his thoughts on Baylor and the Cowboys and all of that. Matt Mosley Show, straight ahead on ESPN Central Texas.
We'll be back, there's no doubt, and we'll try to learn from this.